following along in the song books, our song of invitation following the lesson will be number 97 from the supplement, Servant Song, number 97.
Good evening. Certainly good to see each and every one here this evening. As was announced, the services this evening are a little bit different than the routine. After our services are dismissed this evening, we'll be having a congregational meeting in which the elders will share with the congregation some of the things that we have been and continue to be involved in as part of our work together, as well as some of the plans for the future. We're going to be talking this evening about our relationship one with another. The church is described in a number of different ways in the New Testament. It's flashing at me here. is described in a number of different ways using a number of different figures of speech, two of which, interestingly enough, were in our first song, talking about a kingdom, talking about a vineyard, as a family relationship, as a body, and as the church, which is the called out body. The phrases that are used, the commonality in each of these, is that each focuses not only on the individual makeup of that by members, but more importantly, on the unity of the whole, as the body, or as the family, or as the kingdom, or as the church. In ancient times, people thought a whole lot less about individualism than we do today. They identified much more with the group to which they belonged. Our side today has come to focus more and more and more on the individual rather than the collective. I'm afraid that we're becoming known as me people. It's all about me. I think this is seen in our country. It's seen in all sorts of areas, a progression that's been going on for actually a number of generations. It's what appeals to me. It's what makes me happy. It's what I want. It's what then I interpret that to mean what I need. And then that becomes my standard of what's right, what's fair, what I want. Sadly, not only is that true in our society, but it is working its way into our concepts as a church, spiritually. That has not always been the case, and even more importantly, is not the case as it's presented in the Bible for God's people. God's people are a collective, see themselves as a collective. Over in 1 Peter 2, you know, I'm using my Bible tonight. I've become electronically used to using my electronic tablet, but I'm paranoid. I would never get up in the pulpit with it because I'd be afraid it'd go out. But but I find myself a little bit struggling with a physical Bible this evening, just because I've become so used to the electronic version. But over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In our one of the classes on Sunday morning, Brian Klutz is teaching and doing an excellent job with. We're studying the book of 1 Peter at this time. And the comment was made there that we need to see this in the light of which the people that it was written to would see this. We hear this in our vernacular, and we don't see the collective. But notice what Peter has to say here. He said, you're a race, a chosen race. You are a priesthood. What would that have meant to the Jews who were hearing this? Very special. They were not all of the Israelites certainly could be priests. It was a chosen group. It was not only of a certain tribe, but it was a certain lineage within the tribe to be a priest, and especially to be the high priest. They were, Peter says, a holy nation, a kingdom, a people, not only a people, but a people for God's own possession. And we want to, this evening, look at a phrase that's used in the New Testament on a rather frequent basis to talk about the personal relationship the child of God is called to have with his brothers and sisters in Christ. Randy this morning talked about six words. Well, I'm going to shorten it a little bit more. I'm going to just talk about two words. But it's two words that have a modifier that occurs a number of times in the scriptures. In fact, the words that I'm going to talk about are one another, and our relationships one with another. The term is used some 58 times in the New Testament. And not to worry, I'm not going to talk about all 58 of them tonight. Probably only about 49. No, not even that, certainly. But I want to look at that in conjunction with our thinking about us being part of one another. Beginning with over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And there in verses 12 through 20, we'll look at, and then a little bit after that. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, is it not for that reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as he desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And skipping on down to verse 25, in that analogy, he said that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for, and here's our two words for tonight, one another. But if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and are individually members of it. We are members of one another. What does that mean? What does that imply? What does that put upon us as prerogatives, as things that we are called to do? Well, I think it can be summed up somewhat in the next one another. Over in 1 John 4 and verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And by this the love of God was manifest in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So we are to love one another because we are members of the same body. We are to regard one another as being important. Philippians, the second chapter, in verses 1 through 4. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of us regard one another as more important than self. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Because we are Christ, because we take upon ourselves the characteristics and the disposition of Christ, then our concern is supposed to be outward. Our care, our regard for one another is outward. Our care for one another is outward. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 tells us that we are to care for one another. Another one another phrase that we see in the scriptures, Romans 16:16, 1 Corinthians 16:20, that we are to greet one another. And that doesn't just mean say hello, but I'm always intrigued by some of the reports that we receive, particularly from the Italian brethren. Almost always in that, there will be some greeting. There will be some, the churches of Italy salute you. That a concern and a care and a recognition, if you will, of one another. We are to be hospitable to one another. 1 Peter 4 and verses 7 through 10. The end of all things is at hand, therefore be of sound judgment, sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. And above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are to encourage one another. The Hebrew writer talks about in Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the word encouragement is likewise used in that phrase. Get to that passage. Thought I could quote it, and I misquoted it. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, all the more as ye see the day drawing nigh. So we're to encourage one another. We're to bear one another's burdens. Over in Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 6th chapter, in verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one of you looking to yourselves, lest you also be tempted. And bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're to seek to restore one another, same passage there, and to bear one another's burdens. Our relationship towards one another is to be one of seeking that which is for the other's best interest. James 4, and in verses 11 and 12, and do not speak against one another, brethren. For he who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law. And he judges the law, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer, but a judge of it. And there is only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who you would judge your neighbor? Our attitude is to be one of help and concern and love, and not negativity, not gossiping about one another, but rather to speak in love one towards another. In Romans, the 12th chapter, we find another one another phrase. And that is down in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is good, or what which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. So we are to be devoted to one another in love, which we've already noted that. We're to give preference to one another. We're to honor one another. We're also told in the same book, in the 15th chapter of Romans, in verses 5 through 7, that we are to be accepting of one another. We're not all the same. That's part of our reading in 1 Corinthians about the body. We're different. but we're to accept one another as fellow members of the body of Christ, to be at peace with one another. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 13, to dwell harmoniously. And in Ephesians 4, another very important thing that we are to do for one another. Ephesians 4 and verse 31. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. You know, there's going to be times when my brother or my sister wrongs me, or I am offended by something that they say or do. Paul says, what's my attitude to be? My attitude is to be kind-hearted. My attitude is to be tender-hearted, compassionate, forgiving one another. Galatians 6, verse 10, one another passage. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially to those who are the household of faith. We're to do good. We're to serve one another, as Troy has pointed out in the theme for our song service this evening. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into the opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you do bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. Our attitude is to be one of service, just like the one who we call our Lord and our Master. Jesus Christ himself said he came not to be served, but to serve. And that is our attitude towards our fellow brothers in the congregation. There are many other passages that bear this same thought out, that we have a relationship to one another. And it's supposed to be a loving and a caring and a compassionate one, where we dwell in harmony and peace and service to one another. And as we, in just a few minutes, enter into our congregational meeting, let's think of that and how that the work of the church is a work of service to each other, to others, to the outside world, that our effort is to serve God. And finally, this evening, if you'd look at one more passage, over in 1 John 1, and verse is 5 through 7. And this is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. We need to realize that special fellowship that we can have. Fellowship with one another, but it's based on really fellowship with God. Back earlier in that chapter, in verse 3, he said that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We as a body, as a kingdom, as a family, should have the same goals and the same desires to get to heaven, to have fellowship with our Lord and our God. And as a result of that, as a benefit of that, we also can have fellowship with one another. We have a family that's greater than any physical family can be. We're fellow saints, fellow members of God's body. And we need to always remember that and to seek how we might serve one another and take advantage of that relationship that we have one with another. It's possible that there are some here tonight who are not members of that body, who do not have that fellowship with the body. More importantly, they do not have fellowship with God. That can be changed. In hearing God's word and believing in God, believing that Christ is the Son of God, and turning your life around to submit to God, you can have fellowship with God. You can have fellowship with like-minded people of his body. If you're here this evening as one who's subject to the gospel call, if hearing his word and believing it, you would repent of your sins, you would confess your faith in him, and be baptized, you can be added, as we're told in Acts 2, and the Lord added to the church together daily those who were being saved. Or perhaps you're here as part of the body, but you've not acted towards one another in the way that God would have you act, then that can be corrected as well. By repentance and prayer, that can be resolved. If you're here and in any way subject to the gospel call, if you would come as together we stand and as we sing.